Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from Pastor Derek Dunn, lead pastor of City Harvest Church, Orange County. To find out more about City Harvest or Pastor Derek, please visit chcus.org or derekdunn.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform at chcus and Derek Dunn OC.
Well, today's Mother's Day. We want to give all the women another big hand. I'm so happy my mom is here and I get to celebrate her. For years, I was on the mission field and wasn't a home for mothers. They had to call, or I remember when we couldn't call, it was $3.10 a minute, and we didn't have FaceTime, and we'd send faxes or emails and that kind of thing, and I just dated myself. Some of you are like, huh? But we live in a different world. Thank God for FaceTime, and it makes everything much easier. There was a study done in 2012, and there were 2 billion mothers in the world. And so motherhood is something that God celebrates and we need to always honor. It's not always an easy thing. There's a Jewish proverb that says this. It says, God could not be everywhere, therefore he made mothers. Somebody didn't get that. How many know mothers sometimes have eyes in the back of their head? Mothers have that intuition. I remember my mom growing up, there were times I wanted to go out and there was a party or something going and we were, you know, going to go out and try to get into trouble. And she would tell me, no, you're not going. And I'm like, why? I'd give all my tantrum and everything I could do. And she's like, no, I just don't feel good about it. And sure enough, I would stay home. And you know, my friends and people from school, they went out and got into trouble. And I was home safe. So I thank God for moms that have that special grace to mother and the intuition that God has given to them. How do we describe our moms? This morning I want to give you four aspects of how I see that we describe our moms. And again, we want to appreciate our moms, whether they're here or not. If they're not here, make sure you call your mom. If they're gone to be with the Lord, well, we celebrate them and hopefully we take the baton and be better. Amen. God's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but it's also the God of Sarah and Rebecca. And he moves on. It's a father and a mother. Every church needs a father and a mother. I have what I bring to the table, but my wife brings things to the table. And men and women need to be working together, fathers and mothers. That's the way that God intended it. And we live in a world where parenting is under attack, under assault. Right now, we're dealing with this huge issue of abortion, and 60 million babies have been killed, aborted. You know, in the last year, so it's unbelievable what's happening. We treat pets better than we treat human beings. Yeah. If you did what we did to babies to your dog, you'd be arrested for cruelty. But we go through this abortion. And I'm not trying to be political or insensitive, but the Bible says in Jeremiah that before the baby was in the womb, God said, "I knew you, Jeremiah. Before you were ever conceived, I knew you, and I called you to be a prophet to the nations." We can have whatever argument we want, but life is determined by God. There's people that have intimacy all the time, but they don't get pregnant. But that conception, at that moment of conception, God has caused life to be born. And God has a purpose and a destiny that's so powerful for us. And so we need to fight for life, amen? And we live in a world where people, we don't want to take responsibility for our choices. We want the easy way out, but we need to take responsibility for our choices. And I know there's complicated issues here. Again, I'm not being political, but thank God for those even abortion survivors that are here. Pastor Troy is an abortion survivor. And because of his family and a big family, him and his twin, she was pregnant, but the abortion failed. Thank God Pastor Troy is still here. Because God's called him to have impact in the nations. And so we need to, in this day, stand on the side of God, stand on the side of the Word, not get into emotions. This morning, all across America, there are churches that there are protests going on because of the leak in the Supreme Court, and everyone's saying, oh, this is all coming from Christians. It's all coming from the church. And I don't believe that's totally true, but I believe a lot of it is because we believe what the Word of God says. We can't rewrite our philosophy. We have to base it on the Word of God. And God says he is the giver of life. Amen. Come on, I said, God said he's the giver of life. Amen. And so, come on, let's continue to pray for that. And thank God for the moms that stepped up. Thank God for the single moms. Thank God for the divorced moms that pastor, that parent their children and try to step up. Amen? But God's ideal is a man and a woman, a father and mother, raise a children. And we all have different things to contribute. But today we're going to talk about moms, all right? Now, how do we describe our moms? Number one, moms are our superheroes. Moms are superheroes. We look at our moms and, you know, I don't know about you, but I love superhero movies. You know, people say, well, the Marvel movies are not the most exciting, but everyone likes it because we love to see a superhero. I remember when I was a kid and the first movie I went to was Superman. And I went and we went to Superman. It was such an amazing movie. You see the Man of Steel and you see all this. And we love seeing people that have superpowers. But when you look at a mom and what she does, really, moms are superheroes. They have superpowers, that they can be a wife, that many of them, they work in their professionals, and then they still can be there for the family. Whether you're a working mom or you're a stay-at-home mom, you're a superhero in your world. Tell your moms and tell the women you're superheroes. Come on. What do superheroes do? Same thing that moms do. They make us feel safe even amongst the chaos. Even when things are going wrong or we got bullied at school or you know, in play, people are picking on us or things are happening, they're there to comfort us. They're there to encourage us. They're there just like we saw the little video there about moms encouraging us. And when we can't find something, wives do that too. You know, I was thinking of myself and I'm there, babe, it's not in the refrigerator. It's right there on the top left shelf. I look again. Oh, wow. Use your eyes this time, all right? They help us to feel safe. When there's the boogeyman, you know, under the bed, or are we going through those things and we jump in bed, dad's like, get out of my bed, I want to sleep. And mom's like, let them stay. and moms are there to comfort them in the midst of the boo-hoos, in the midst of stopping the tears. You know, I love my wife, we have a great family, but sometimes especially when the kids are younger, when Susan would go away, we'd miss her and there'd be tears at the airport. But I also cherish that time because when mom's not around, they look for dad. And so I would get all the hugs and the kisses and all of the support. And it was a great time of bonding with the kids, you know, and doing that. But when mom's around, they look to dad for certain things. And we bring an aspect there. But when they bruise their knee, they don't want dad. I don't want daddy. I want mommy. And mom's there, you know, because dads were a little bit rougher. And we don't do it the way that a mom does it. And moms bring that comfort and bring that security. Moms are those that never give up on their kids, even in the midst of nonsense. I've seen many fathers say, oh, that's done, I'm done. You know, we need to use tough love now. But the moms will still see the best. The moms will still not stop believing in their children because God has put that attribute of that unconditional love inside of every mom. They provide for their kids. They care for their kids. They protect them. And they'll fight for them no matter what. Come on, let's give it up for all the moms also. Superman, Superwoman might have laser beam eyes. They can see through walls. They have X-ray vision, but so do moms. What are you doing up there? Oh, nothing, mom, nothing, mom. Moms just have a knack of knowing. The bionic woman, you know, she can hear conversations. She's got but moms can do. What was that? And mom, were you eavesdropping? No, I just heard you say this. They walked in just at the right time to hear what they needed to hear. Moms might not be able to read minds, but they know that something's wrong with the kids. What's going on? What's wrong? They have that discernment that's there, and they keep asking until they get the answer. God's given us amazing moms in our life. They might not be perfect, but they're there for us, and God has anointed them to nurture us, to help us to grow. Wonder Woman may be able to change into a superwoman outfit anytime, but so can moms. The housewives that become business professionals, and they change and they do that. They can come out of their sweats, come out of all the mess of the house, and within an hour, they look beautiful and wonderful. I don't know how they do it, but they do. Come on, let's give all the women a big hand. Come on, moms are amazing. And today we want to appreciate the moms and the future moms. Psalms 91 verse 9 says this, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, because I will deliver him, I will set him on high. Because he has known my name, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. God is our supreme superhero. But as we look at this verse, it's talking about God, but God is the same. God gives his angels charge over us, and that's our moms. He gives them charge over us to help him do all these things here, to protect, to nurture, and to encourage. Moms are our superheroes. Number two, moms are also saints. I get every mom, when they get to heaven, they're going to get a saint, whether the Pope makes you a saint or not. Come on, you're a saint. Tell the women, say, you're saints. Come on. What do saints do? They faithfully forgive their children. Come on, they plead for the goodness of their children and for the best benefit of their children in the midst of even when the children have disobeyed. The parents painstakingly clean dirty diapers. I remember when Ethan was born and I had a brother when I was 16, and so I learned how to babysit and take care and do stuff. So I was probably a little bit more qualified in certain things. And so, you know, with our first child, I was there, and Susan, you know, learned very quickly and did it, but I would be there to help and nurture and do little things because I had some experience. But with the second and the third one, with Ethan and with Aaron and Erica, I had this selective sleeping ability. I would just sleep through everything. Come on. But I know Susan, that moment, even 5 minutes before the baby was going to wake up and was hungry, she would wake up. And sometimes I would wake up, what's going on? And she's like, oh, it's time to feed. And I was like, the baby's sleeping. And within a few minutes, the baby would wake up hungry. Moms just have that intuition. They just have that knack. And they would do it and go through sleepless night while I was sleeping and be there for their kids and just have a knowing. They could tell and have discernment in the cry. Babies just cry. But is this a diaper cry? Is this a feeding cry? Or is there something else is wrong crying? To us, it's just a cry, but moms even know the cry of their child. And they're there to nurture, to love, and to go through those sleepless nights. You know, when you first get pregnant, you're so excited. Look, we're pregnant. Oh my gosh, it's amazing. Then the morning sickness gets in and they go through that. And then you're in that place, you're just so excited. You're thinking about the baby and the shower, everything goes on and all the gifts and decorating the room. And then that last trimester, you're like, get this thing out of me. Feet are swelling, you know, the baby's kicking in the middle. I remember Susan would wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm like ready to grab the back. Let's go to the hospital. She's like, no, my leg. The baby rolls over on that nerve, and I was like, what can I do? Don't touch me. And she would just suffer through it. Men, we thank God for women so that we don't have to have babies, amen? No matter what the world says, you cannot, come on, I'm not even going to go there. But women do that. But that last trimester, you're like, get this baby out of it. The baby comes. You're so excited. And then comes the sleepless nights, the 1.5, 2-hour feedings. Come on, you're going through all that, changing diapers 8 to 10 times a day. You go through all that, and you're like, let's put this thing back for a while. Come on. But moms suffer through and are able to go through the pain all that it takes to give birth to a child and nurture that child and care for that child and bond with that child. It's a beautiful gift from God. Mothers are saints. Come on, let's give them a big hand. Amen? Mothers are superheroes. Mothers are saints. Thirdly, moms are angels too. Moms are angels too. Everyone knows that, you know, we moms would be there to make things fun for their kids, to do the little things. And I remember when we were introducing the tooth fairy, you know, and when your teeth would fall out, we'd, you know, put it under the pillow and we'd give them. I only got like a 25-cent coin, but Susan would give $5. I mean, she was much generous. I'm like, babe, that's a lot. And she's like, no. And so we do things like that. And, you know, Santa Claus and all these things making it special. Don't look at me and get religious. Come on, you did it too. Enjoy it for a time. It's about Jesus. Saint Nick was a saint too, all right? But it's about giving. And we do all those things. And I remember there was one day, but we told our children, we said, we're not going to ever lie to our kids. If they ask us questions, we want to answer the question. And so Erica had a tooth fall out and she got her $5. The tooth fairy came. And we were in the car and we're driving, and Ethan was always very smart. You know, Ethan was talking before he was walking. For boys, that's usually not true. We develop our motor skills first before our talking skills, and women are the opposite. But Ethan, he had a big head. And he was super smart. And so his body's caught up with him. And I know he's watching right now in the control room, shaking his head. I love you, boy. All right. And you know, he was there, but he was super smart. And so we're there. Erica was just, you know, probably 3 or 4 years old. And she had the coin. And I mean, got the $5. And so we're in the car. And Ethan's like, Mom, tell me the truth. Are you the tooth fairy? So we're here on the spot. All the kids are there. What are we going to do? And we looked at each other, but we had always disagreed. We'll always tell our kids, and you might do things differently, but we told them the truth. I have a relative, and you know, they never told their kid. Their kids was 12 years old going to school believing in Santa Claus. And all the kids are like, oh, yeah, Santa Claus is your dad. It's not true. And they would come home, and this relative didn't want to the kids to lose that experience. So it's, no, Santa Claus is real. And, you know, it would go on. And then later when the kids found out, there was a bit of a crisis that you didn't tell me the truth. And so we didn't want to do that. So Ethan says, Mom, is the tooth fairy really real? Tell me the truth. You're the tooth fairy. And so there was a long pause. And then Mom said, yes, Ethan, I'm the tooth fairy. There was another pause. And Erica said, Mom, how do you turn into the fairy and get so small? And that was a longer explanation. but we tell them the truth, but we're the moms are the angels who go and make things fun. I remember, you know, there'd be times our kids are growing up and we'd always do something special for their birthdays. It'd be 11 o'clock at night and Susan would say, did you get the balloons? Oh, I forgot the balloons. It's okay, they're old enough, baby. It's like, get the balloons. And we're at the grocery store and we would always surprise our kids with balloons in their room or doing something special. Moms are the angels that make the children's life enjoyable and they bring the thoughtful things to make kids enjoy and have fun and all those little things. Moms are angels. Give them a big hand, amen? In John 16, verse 24, it says, until now you've asked me nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Just as our Father is one who always seeks to surprise us and to fill our hearts with joy. Just as God loves to surprise us and fill our hearts with joy, that's what moms do. Like our Father God, they're looking for opportunities to bring out the creativity, to make things special for their kids. In Matthew 6, verse 8, it says, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask them. And moms have that intuition too. They know, Mom, here it is. Mom, I forgot. Yep, it's right here. Mom, where is it? It's on your second drawer on the left. And moms do it. And dads, we have this answer when they come to us. We say, I don't know. Ask your mom. Come on. Moms are our angels. Number 4, finally, moms are specially chosen by God. Specially chosen by God. Life is full of choices. And there's 3 things in life that you cannot choose the outcome. They're this. Number 1, you cannot choose the consequences of your choice. Many people that the wages of sin is death. We can choose death, but we can't choose the consequence. It's a law of nature. What you sow, you're going to reap. We can't change the consequence. Number 2, you can't change the hour of your birth or your death. We have some women, especially in the first service, that are pregnant, getting ready to pop. And I think Lace's due date is on the 18th, if I'm not wrong. But you can't choose the 18th. The 18th could be the 23rd. Or the baby could come early. No one knows. The gynecologist does all the math and has a little calendar, but God still chooses. Even when they try to induce birth, they can't choose the moment. God is the one who causes it to happen. And the time that we die, we don't want to die before our time, but we're all going to die one day unless Jesus comes back. There's it's appointed to man wants to die, or to woman wants to die. We can't change that. Be healthy. Don't speed up the process. Come on. Eat well. Exercise. Be healthy. Don't take crazy risks and put your life at risk. But God is the one who determines our birth and our death. And thirdly, the choice that we can't control is the kind of family that we're born into. The homes and the dads that we would end up. No mother is perfect. No dad is perfect. But God has chosen us. And as we go through those things, we learn and we grow and take the baton so in the next generation we can do better. In the next generation, we can go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. This Bishop Desmond Tutu said this. It's a great statement. He said, you don't choose your family. They're God's gift to you as you are God's gift to them. Yeah. Come on, let's give a hand for our family. Amen? Amen. It's God's gift to us. Children are a blessing from the Lord. And we need to see them as a blessing and nurture them and be responsible for them. I always tell my kids and our family, my first connect group is my family. My first church is my family. And then out of that, we're able to pastor and help other people, but our priority is our family. Amen? James 1 verse 17 says, every good and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift, it comes from God. And we need to honor our imperfect fathers, our imperfect mothers, and see them as a gift of God. Many of them, they did the best that they could. No family's perfect. I know Mother's Day can be a very tiring, trying time for some people, but we still need to honor them as a gift from God and show grace to them that they did their best, even if we grew up in a difficult family. And as we honor them, come on, God will honor us. We can learn not just from the good things, but we can learn from the mistakes and hopefully do better with God's help, with God's grace. Amen. Every child is a perfect gift from God. And we need to fight for that. We need to believe that. That's what the Bible tells us in these days. Amen. Motherhood is not accidental. There's no illegitimate child. There's only illegitimate parents. Are you here? Every child is in the mind of God, comes from God to be a blessing to this world. I'm so glad for my mom and those that were there and spiritual mothers that I had that nurtured us. Again, every church we need to have mothers. Some of us, we grew up and we didn't really have we had a father, but we didn't have a dad. Maybe we had a mother, but we didn't have a mom. But in the house of God, come on, we can be spiritual moms. We can be spiritual dads. God is a father to the fatherless. He's a mother to the motherless. You mean God's a mother? Yeah, God has both attributes. He made man in the image of God. But then he took out the attribute of mother from Adam and made Eve. And we celebrate the mothers. We celebrate the women of faith in our life. We celebrate the women of faith in our world. As we look at the Bible, we see the different women of faith that are there. We see the first mother, which was Eve. And Eve ate of the fruit, and we always look, see, women. But it wasn't Eve that God spoke to not to eat the fruit. It was the man. It was Adam, but he didn't protect his wife. And because of that, sin entered in, and we see Eve in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of sin entering, in the midst of her son Cain killing Abel, she stood up and she, in the midst of tragedy, still had faith. We look at Sarah, the wife of Abraham, who went from being a woman who was older in years, had passed the years of childbearing. We always talk about Father Abraham being the father of faith, but Sarah was the mother of faith. She was the one that laughed when God spoke the word and she had Isaac. She had faith to wait for God's promises. Abraham got ahead of God and tried to help God along, and we got Ishmael. But Sarah waited for the son of promise. We look at Rebecca. She was the wife of Isaac. Rebecca was, like her mother-in-law Sarah, was barren until Isaac prayed for her. And she gave birth to her son Jacob. But Rebecca was one who broke down the social norm. She went alongside her husband. She had faith to forgo the traditions of men. And we honor her. We look at Jochebed, the mother of Moses. And Jochebed was probably the most unappreciated mother. She treasured her child. But in a time that they were murdering the firstborn, she put her child in a basket and believed God, that God would take care of him. And we know what happened. The daughter of Pharaoh found Moses and took him in. And God had a plan. And Moses was trained in the ways of Egypt and became the deliverer. She had faith to trust and to let go. Sometimes it takes more faith to wait and to do nothing than it does to do something. We look at Hannah, the mother of Samuel, the great prophet. Hannah was also barren. She prayed for a child. She said, God, if you give me this child, I'll give him back to your service. And we know what happened. God gave her a baby. And she gave the baby to the house of God. And he served, and he became one of the greatest prophets. Her faith touched God. And God used her, the fruit of her womb, to be one of the greatest prophets that anointed the greatest king, David. Look at Bathsheba. She was the object of David's lust. David didn't go about things rightly. She had every right to be bitter. She had every right to be upset with David, but she didn't. She remained faithful. She had faith to be loyal, even with a man that she probably couldn't respect so much. I mean, David killed her husband, put him on the front line. David manipulated. David tried to hide it. But she remained loyal to an imperfect king and honored him as God's anointed. And she therefore began to show us that faith, as it perseveres, that God works in the midst of that. What about Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist? She was also old and couldn't give birth. Wasn't able to have a baby, but what happened? There was joy that was on the inside of her. And when the baby was inside her womb and she met Mary and Jesus was inside of Mary's womb, the baby began to jump with excitement because it sensed that prophetic anointing that was already in him, that this was the Messiah. And John the Baptist began to prepare the way for the Messiah. Elizabeth had faith to see ahead the joy that she experienced what in her womb made complete and with the coming of Jesus. What about Mary, the mother of Jesus? One of the most highly regarded women, that she was highly graced, the Bible says. She found favor in God's sight, and she was willing to submit to the will of God and do what was unpopular. I mean, to be pregnant out of wedlock during that time, you could be stoned. And she went through this time of being pregnant on her own, didn't have intimacy with her husband that she married because she wanted to keep herself undefiled, pure, because God had put Jesus inside of her. She was young. She was a female. What she was doing was unacceptable in the sight of men, in the eyes of people. But what happened? She had faith to continue to trust God. She had faith to trust the word of God. These are great women of faith that we celebrate. We know a lot. Many times the men are celebrating the husband, but these were the women that came alongside their men, that stood up and broke culture. Behind every man, the saying says, is a woman that made him successful. I believe that's true. It's a mom that believed the best and didn't stop giving up. That ability to nurture, that ability to encourage, to bring people into faith. Are you here? Amen. Motherhood's not an accident. You were born a woman and not a man because God gave you grace to be that nurturer, to produce, to do what men can't do. Women are not weaker than men. Come on. Men, we can't have babies no matter what they say. Not just physically, but come on. If you're like me, I can't take pain at all. I hit my finger and I'm a... But women are willing to go through pain, go through all of that childbearing, go through... Have the tenacity because of what God's put inside of them. Come on, let's give a hand to all the women again. Come on. Why don't we all stand on our feet? Come on, let's just begin to pray for the women. God, we lift up all the moms that are here. We lift up the future moms. We lift up the grandmas. We lift up those, God, that you have blessed, that you have graced as women. And God, we celebrate them today. We just commit them into your hands, God. We pray for those that are desiring to have children that can't have children, those watching online, those that are here, God. We pray that you bless them, you grace them, Lord. If that's the desire, open up their wombs, God. We pray, God, for prosperity, for fertility, God, that they can follow your command. We declare every curse is broken. That, God, they'll bear forth children that can be a blessing from the Lord. God, give the moms grace, God, as they manage the workplace and the home, as they're homemakers, God. Give them the grace, God, and the patience as they're always in the home. They're with the kids as their husbands are out working, God. Whatever situation they're in, we pray for your grace. We pray for your blessing upon them, that they would know how much you appreciate them today, God. Today we celebrate women. We celebrate moms. We thank you for the women and the men working together in this hour, coming together, God. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. Let's give all the women another big shout. Thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Amen and amen. If your mom's not here, give her a call. Do something and appreciate them. Well, they're not perfect. You don't have to get into the details. Just say, I just wanted to tell you, happy Mother's Day. I love you. Keep it short. But do something. As we honor our moms, we're honoring God and who God's made them in our lives. Amen. So, Father, we thank you. We pray for your grace upon
every family, upon every mom, upon every dad. We pray for the communion of the Holy Spirit to be upon us, Lord. That give us the grace and to raise godly children, to raise wise children in this day where it's difficult, God. But you give us the wisdom, and God, we'll see generations of faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. God, we'll see our children, our children's children, honoring you and serving you and walking right before you and walking in the blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Give the Lord another big hand. I hope you're blessed today. Amen.